Begin the current daf Masechta Yuma, daf Nun Dal. Begin three lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Now the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which spoke about our mission introduced that we were speaking about the Avodah of the Ketores by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim once a year. So it's done Bein Habadim, it's done between the two poles of the Aron HaKodesh inside the Kodesh HaKodesh. However, our Mishnah told us that Mishanitel Aron, when the Aron was taken away, and during the times of Beis HaMikdash when they didn't have an Aron, so it wasn't done between the two poles because they weren't there, rather it was done on top of the Evan Shasiyah, on top of this certain stone that we're going to be talking about, that the world was created from, it was founded from there, that's where the Keteris were done during the times when there was no Aron. So now the Gemara introduces the discussion, a diyuk from our Mishnah, that from the fact that it doesn't say Mishanignaz, it doesn't say from when the Aron was concealed, hidden away, rather it says from when it was taken away, it's mashma like those opinions that say that it was taken down into Gullus and the exile of Bavel, and not like the other opinions that say that it was hidden away. Now in that discussion, the Gemara had brought down Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai's statement, that he held also, like our Mishnah, that Aron Gadol LaBavel, that the Aron HaKadosh went down to exile to Bavel, and that's like our Mishnah said, from Mishanitel Aron when it was taken away. However, that's where the Gemara continues now, it says, Upliga de Ula. This that we learned in the Braisa, that Rabbi Shimon had said, that the Aron was Gadol LaBavel, the Aron went down into exile to Bavel, argues on Ula, because the Amma Ula had a different tradition in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. He says, Shol Reb Masi ben Charash as Reb Shimon ben Yechai b'Raimi, that he asked Reb Shimon ben Yechai in Rome, he said, V'chi me'achet she Reb Elazar melamdeinu pam rishayinu shniya, that once Reb Elazar had taught us one time and two times, in other words, that he had two different besukim to tell us this halacha, that Aron Gadol LaBavel, that Aron actually went down to Gadol LaBavel, and that is Rishon HaDamar. And the first one is like we said, which was on a few lines before, that the Gemara quoted in the Braisa, that says in the Pasuk, V'yibiyehu bavelo im kleichem dos beis Hashem, that he was brought to Bavel together with the desired vessels of the house of Hashem, which as we had explained, that was a reference to the Aron HaKodesh, that they went down to Gullus with Yehoyacha and went down the Aron HaKodesh. And Shnei Mahi, what's the second Pasuk that he has a proof to show that the Aron went down to Gullus Bavel? The Silik, like it says, Pasuk in Eicha, it says, Vayetze Mibas Tzion, that it went out from the daughter of Zion, and we continue on top of Nandalam and Aleph, Kol Hadara, all its glory, all its beauty left from Tzion, went down to Gullus. Now, my Kol Hadara, what does it mean, Kol Hadara? And that, the drush is Chadara, because many times the gutturals, they are interchangeable, so hey is changed with the ches, so it means its rooms. Now, what does it mean, its rooms? It means what's hidden inside its innermost chamber, its innermost room, which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron HaKodesh, that was also went down to Gullus Bavel. So therefore, he's asking, what are you going to say? Rabbi Elazar has two psukim to back up his opinion that the Aron went down to Gullus Bavel. On that, Rabbi Shimon answered him, he said to him, Shani Oima, I hold Aron b'mkaymer niknas. That no, the Aron HaKodesh was concealed in its place where it always was. Shnem, like it says, the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, said, Vayirichu habadim b'goymer, that the poles of the Aron were lengthened, etc. And from that Pasuk, you see that no, it never left from where it always was. So Amar Lei, Rabba Ula, so Rabba asked to Ula, my mashma, where do you see from that pasuk anything about the fact that the Aron HaKodesh was hidden and concealed in the place where it always was, and that it didn't go down the Gullus Bavel? So it says the chsib, because that's what the pasuk ends over there, and it says Vayusham Ado Yemezeh, and that it was there up until today, and therefore you see that the Aron HaKodesh is still there, as the Torah is telling us, and therefore it's not like Rabbi Elazar is saying that it went down the Gullus Bavel; it's still here. Now, that's what we're saying, that the Messiah of what Reb Shimon's opinion was, although we had said that it was like Reb Elazar, that it went down the Gullus Bavel, that argues in Ula, because his tradition that Reb Shimon ben Yochai held was that it didn't go down the Gullus Bavel. It's actually concealed, it's still there in the Kachar Kachar, but it's hidden. Now the Gemara asks on the interpretation of Ula's Messiah of what Reb Shimon held. Is it really true that whenever the Pasuk says, which is the proof that he's explaining, to explain Reb Shimon's opinion, because it says that the Aron is there up until today, that means it's there forever? But V'Aksiv, there's another Pasuk that says in Shaiftim, it says, V'sa Yevusi Yoshev Yerushalayim, that the Yevusi, the nations that lived there in Eretz Israel, in Eretz Canaan, before the Jewish people came, the dwellers of Yerushalayim, Lo Hirishu B'nei Binyamin, the sons of Binyamin did not chase them out, the Yeshev HaYevusi is B'nei Binyamin B'Yerushalayim, and that the dwellers, those of Yevusi, dwelled with the people of the Shev Binyamin in Yerushalayim, Ado Yemezeh, up until today. Now, Hachin Namid Le'Gola, are you going to say that they didn't go into Gullus, that they're still there? Because it says Ado Yemezeh. But by the time you learn the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yehuda says, Chamish Mushtaim Shana, for 52 years, Lo Yav, Lo Aver Ish B'Yehuda, there was no person that walked through Judea, which was where the Bnei Binyamin were, and which inevitably that means that the people from Yevusi were not there because no one was there for 52 years. And that is, there were 52 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim, which was with the time of Golus Tzidkiyahu, when Tzidkiyahu HaMelech finally went into exile, up until when Kairish, the king from the Persians, that he remembered and he says, you know what, let the Jewish people go up and build their base of Migdash again, which was at the end of the 70 years from Golus Yehoyakim, which was when it was the designated time that the Golus bubble was going to be 70 years. As the Gemara Megillah explains in Daf Yud Beis, that there were 18 years from when Yehoyakim was conquered and taken down to Golus until the Churban, the actual destruction of Yerushalayim. So there was those 18 years. Then from when the final destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash was 18 years after the king Yehoyakim went down to Golus. So that was then 52 years from that, when Tzidkiyahu went down, there was 52 years until the total of the 70 years, which is 18 and 52. Now, for those, when it says that over Ish Behuda, for those 52 years, no one went through Judea, Shonem, like it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, Alaharim Esa Bechi Benehi, that on the mountains I will lift up a cry and a wail, on the Is Midbar Kina, and in the pastures of the desert, lamentations, Kinitsu Mibli Ish Aivim, because it is parsh without any man walking through it. They didn't hear the sound of cattle, even from the sounds of the birds in the heaven up until the animals. They wandered, they had left, there was nothing there in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Behema, the Gemara says, how do we know that it was 52 years? Because Behema, the Gematria, Chamshin B'Shtayim Haba, the Gematria, the numerical value of the word Behema, that Beis is 2, Hay is 5, Mem is 40, and Hay is 5, was a total of 52. And therefore, you see, for 52 years, no one passed through Judea, which was where the Bnei Binyamin were. V'tanya, even more so, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Sheva shanim niskaimo garfis u'melech b'Eretz Yisrael. For 7 years, there was sulfur and salt in Eretz Yisrael. And the Avraham Rabbi Yechon explained my time at Rabbi Yisrael. What's the reason of Rabbi Yisrael? Where does he see that for 7 years there was sulfur and salt, and that there was nothing else in the land of Israel but that? Because Asir Bris Bris, he learns it out from Exer Shava of the word Bris covenant. Because Ksiv Hach, it says over here in the Pasuk of Daniel, V'hig b'bris l'rabim, that they had promised, they had strengthened, that there was a covenant for the princes, Shavua Echad, which means one cycle of 7 years. Ksiv Hasma says over there in the Pasuk of Dvarim, V'omrin, they said, Alasher Azu es bris Hashem l'kei avosim, that because they have forsaken the covenant of Hashem, the God of their fathers. And from there, the explanation is because Rabbi Yochanan is explaining that covenant that says over there, and the Devarim, it talks about that there's going to be Gufras of Melech, that's going to be the desolation, the destruction of Eretz Yisrael, is going to be sulfur and salt, where it says over there, because they were Azres Bris, because they forsake the Bris, that was what says in that passage in Daniel, that Higbiru Ayyav al Yisrael Shavu Echa, that the enemy overpowered the Jewish people for one cycle of 7 years, that there was for 7 years, there was just sulfur and salt. But anyway, the point that the Gemara is asking is, here you have a pasuk that says, Ado Yemazeh, the Yevusi was there up until today. Now, it can't be, because we know for a period of 52 years, there was nobody there. And therefore, the Yevusi obviously was not there. So how can we say they were there, Ad HaYemazeh, if you see that they weren't there throughout? So Amalei said to him, Hachak Siv Sham, here by the Aron Kodesh, where I'm saying that it says Ado Yemazeh, and therefore it means that it's still there, and that's where Shimon's holding, it didn't go down the Golas Bavel, it doesn't just say Ado Yemazeh, it also says Sham, it was there, Vayu Sham Ado Yemazeh. Hasam, but there by the Yevusi, like Siv Sham, it doesn't say there, and therefore, although it says Ado Yemazeh, that doesn't have the same component that it says, that'll mean even up until today, and that's why you're right. There they actually went, and that no one was there for 52 years, even though it said Yemazel. But it has to be with the word Sham with it. However, the Gemara continues to ask, but Sham, is it really true that, however, whenever it says there, then it means to say that it's still there and it's going to be there forever? And that's what you're saying with the Arna Kodesh, that it says there, that means it's still there, it's just hidden? But Mesaveh, the Gemara asks, Pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, says Umihem, and then from there were those from them, Min Bnei Shimon, from the sons of Shevet Shimon, Hochu lahar Seir, that they went to the mountain of Seir, Anoshim Chomesh Meis, 500 men, Ufalatya, Ben Arya, Rafoya, Vuziel, Bnei Yishi, Bereshim, the sons of Yishi were at the head, V'yakwe She'iris HaPleit LaMolek, and they hit and they destroyed the remnants of those which were left over from Amolek, V'yeshu sham ado yemezeh, and they settled over there until today. So it says there, it says sham, and ado yemezeh. Now, you can't say that it means that they're still there, because ukvar olo sancheiriv melech Asher, because sancheiriv, the king of Asher of Assyria, he already went up. Ubilbil kalaratzis, and already mixed up all the lands. In other words, whoever was in one place, he moved them to another place. No one remained where they were beforehand. Shem, like it says the passage in Yeshaya, v'aser gevulis am, that I removed the boundaries of the nations, v'asu the same sheshesi, and that I plundered their treasures. Now, so therefore we know that when there were certain nations, as Gemara brings many times this pasuk to show that if someone was from a certain nation and he's there now, that's not the original nation, because Sachev came and mixed everybody up. And therefore these Bnei Yishi, those people, the 500 men from Bnei Shimon that went over there, they're not still there, because Sachev mixed them up. Yet it still says Shom Ado Yom Hazeh. But the Gemara concludes to you that this is a refutation of Ula's interpretation, and that his proof was that how does he know that Reb Shimon ben Yochai holds that it was still there? It's Nigna Sham, because it says that it was there, Sham Ado Yom Hazeh. That the Gemara disproves that and shows that you could have that term, that something is Sham Ado Yom Hazeh, and it doesn't literally mean that it's still there today, because as we find by Sancheiriv, that he mixed them up, and still it says over there in the Pasuk, Sham Ado Yom Hazeh. Now the Gemara brings another opinion in this discussion regarding what happened to the Aron HaKodesh. Our Mishnah makes it sound like that it went down the Golas Bavel. Other opinions hold that it was hidden in the Kachar Kachim where it always was. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Tana, we learn the Braisa, V'chom and Chom say, Aron Belishkas Dir Ha'etzim Ha'yagonis. The Aron HaKodesh was in a different place. It was in the chamber of the where the wood was stored. That's where the Aron HaKodesh was hidden. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Avanana Matanina, we also learned in the Mishnah Masechet Shkalim the same idea that it was hidden in the chamber of where the storehouse for the wood. Because it says over there, Maisa B'Kohen Echad Shoyim Es Asik. There was an incident with one Kohen that was taking it easy, he was laughing and having a good time. V'ra Ritzba Mishunah Mechabrisa, and he was walking around, and he saw one of the tiles that was on the floor was different than the other ones. And that is, he realized that marble tile was a little bit higher than the rest. And he understood that obviously it was picked up at one point in time from after that it was laid. He came to tell his friend, look at this, I was like walking around, I was seeing what's going on, I see this tile is different. He didn't get a chance to complete what he wanted to do until his soul left him. And therefore they knew for a fact that's obviously that's where the Aron HaKodesh was hidden. Now the Gemara asks, Mayhava of it. What was this person doing that when this incident happened? Amar Bchelba, he says, Misastik b'kardumai hayu. He was busy with his hatchet. As the Gemara explains, Tanderbe Bishmal, Shnei Kahanim Bali Mumin, there were two Kahanim that were blemished, and that is because a Kohen that has a mum, he is not fit to do any other avoida, but what they were doing, they were deworming the wood, as the Mishnah Masechtas Midas tells us that any wood that has a worm inside of it is invalid for the mizbech. So they were deworming; they were getting the worms out of the wood. And the hatchet of one of them fell, and it slipped and it fell down on that where that tile was. And a fire came out from where that was and consumed it. Now the Gemara goes back to a pasuk that we had mentioned on the beginning of this Amid, which was mentioned also on the bottom of the previous daf, regarding when it says in the pasuk that the Aron HaKodesh was concealed in its place. So it says Vayirichu Habadim, it said that the Badim will lengthen, and then the end of the pasuk speaks about the words Sham Ado Yom Hazeh, that it was there up until today, and that's why those opinions hold that the Aron was in the Kachar Kachim, it's still there, it's just hidden. However, now the Gemara discusses that pasuk. View the Rami, review the pasuk, the following contradiction. See, if it says in the pasuk Melachim Aleph, in that pasuk that we had, that's from the pasuk of Vayirichu Habadim, it says Vayirou Rashi Habadim, that the edges of the poles were visible, as the pasuk there says Min Hakodesh up in the Advir, from the holy place on the surface of that the mechitza from the curtain that separated the Kodesh and the Kachar Kachim, one was able to see the tips of the poles. Yeruchsev, but the end of the pasuk ends off by saying Velo Yirou Hachutza, that it was not visible outside. So how do we understand the pasuk? It was visible, the tips of the poles, from inside, and you were able to see that when you were in the heichal outside, or was it not visible? So that the Gemara answers, nirin ve'en nirin. It was visible, but it wasn't visible. And that is as the Gemara will shortly explain from the Braisa, that the poles were protruding and sticking out from the curtain, from the pareches, and it seemed like the two breasts from a woman, which protrude from under her shirt, that's what it was. So it was visible, but it wasn't visible. Tanya Malchus, similar in the Brice, it says as follows. It says in that pasuk, "Vayirou Rosh Habadim," that the tips of the poles were seen. Now, first the Brice asks, "Yochel lo yuzas nimikami." You would think, as is the Isra of removing the poles from the Aron HaKodesh, as a special mitzvah in the Torah, so you would think you can't even move it from its place. It has to stay exactly like it is. In other words, even if you're not removing it from what the position that it's in, but you can't even move it back and forth. Tamalama, that's what the beginning of the pasuk explains to us, that Vayirucha Habadim, that they extended the poles. One can extend it, you just can't remove it totally, but you could move it around. Now, Yochli Yu Makaran Beparechis Beyetz, and you would think that when it says that it's going to come out and you could see it, you could extend it, that it's going to actually rip through the curtain and it's going to come out, and that's how you're going to see it. Tamalema Veloy Rochutza. But that's what the end of the pasuk says, that it wasn't visible outside. So, okay, so this is what the Brice is addressing, this contradiction. How does that make sense? Is it going to be visible outside or not? That's what the Brice says. Deichkin, it pushes, ubaltin, and it protrudes, v'yetzin, it goes out, bipareiches, in the curtain, and that's v'nirin kishnei dadi isha, and it seems like the two breasts of a woman, shenem, like it says the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, tsrur hamur, a bundle of myrrh, which is a reference, an allusion to the keteris, which were done inside the Kodesh HaKodesh, the most intimate place that HaKodesh Baruch Hu was with the Jewish people. Doidili, that's my beloved to me. Bein shada yalan, between my breasts, he lays, and that's again to the reference of the Badi Aron, that were like two breasts that were protruding from the Kacha Kachim into the Hechel. And as Mashra says, that the same words, Bein Shadei, are the words, Shnei Badei, that's a reference to the two Badim that were protruding from the Kacha Kachim into the Hechel. And therefore, it was like sticking out, but it wasn't sticking out. And that's again allusion to the two Badi Aron. Now, continuing on this theme about the intimacy that Kadosh Baruch Hu had with the Jewish people, of this concept of Doidili in the Kacha Kachim, the holiest of holies, the most hidden and concealed place, where that was only once a year that the Kohen Gadol was allowed to go in. So Rav Katina said, "B'shoshah Yisrael Oilin L'Regel." When the Jewish people come up to do Aliyah L'Regel by the three Yom Tovim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, "Megal Lehem Es Apareches," they would pull back the curtain that separated the and it would conceal what was inside the Kachim, the holiest of holies. "Umar Lehem Es Akruvim," they would show the Jewish people the Kruvim that were attached one another, embracing and hugging one another the way a man hugs a woman. "Shahayim Ur Mezebezeh," which they were embracing each other. "V'ayim Lehem," and they would tell the Jewish people, "Ru'uchi Baschum Lefnei Amakim," look how beloved you are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. "K'chibas Zachar Nekeva," like the love that a man and a woman have together, that's the love that Hashem has for you. Now, the Gemara asks on this, how they were able to do this. Masar Rav Chizda asks, there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says, "V'lo yuvayu," that they, the Levim, in the times of the Midbar when the Jewish people were in the desert, that they shouldn't come, lirois, to see, kevalas HaKodesh, when they were covering the holy items that were inside the Mishkan. Now, as Rashi explains, although the Levim were the ones that actually did the Avodah, they actually carried the holy vessels on their shoulders, they weren't allowed to come in when they were moving from place to place. There were many different masois that they took from place to place, that when they were taking apart the Aron and the Mizbech to then carry from one place to another place, they weren't allowed to come in when that was being done. Vam Rav Yehuda Marav, that this was b'shnas hachnasas kelim lanartik shalem, at the time when they were putting the vessels into their covers, which they had to be covered and no one should be looking at them when they're carrying them. At that time, up until when Aaron and his sons would cover all of them in their cases, as it says over there in the parasha, that b'chisu oisam b'michzer atachash, they covered them with these coverings, and they took begdecheles and they covered. Now, and that's what the pasuk means, kavalas akhidish. Kavala is a term of covering. That the Levim were not allowed to even go in at that point. Even up until when they were totally covered, then they called in the Levim and then they would carry it. So the question is, if the Levim, who they do the Avodah, they actually carry it, they're not allowed to see it even when it's being put in and when it's taken apart until it's totally covered. So how could the Jewish people, who's on a lower level in that sense of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, they could just pull it back and show them straight out the Aron HaKodesh with the Kruvim embracing one another? So Rav Nachman answers, Mashal Akala, this can be compared to a bride. That it depends. Kozman Sheba Beis Avia, as long as she's still in her father's home, which means when she's engaged and then she's at home and then she comes to visit her groom and they meet each other. Then Snu Mibala. Then she's modest from her husband and she doesn't totally engage. She's still shy. She's still modest. So do the Jewish people in the desert. They weren't yet so hamish. They weren't so friendly with the Shekhinah. And therefore, that they even the Levium weren't able to see the hidden things that were inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Mishkan. But Kivin Shabbos LeBeis Chameh, but once she comes to her father-in-law's house, she's part of the family, which is an allusion to the Beis HaMikdash when we're living with Hashem. Then Einitz Numabala, then she's not so modest in front of her husband. She's not so embarrassed and become hamish. And therefore, the Jewish people were allowed to see, even not the Levim, even the Jewish people were allowed to see the Kruvim embracing one another because we're already in a stage of Nisuin, of marriage, and not like in the times of the Midbar when we're like in that stage of Erusin, of just engaged and not fully living together. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this, but we had mentioned before, there was a kohen that was busy and he saw the child differently and he was going to tell and he died. And the question is, why? What was wrong that he was going to even see the Aron HaKadosh if we said in the times of the Beis HaMikdash that they're already hamished and they could see? It's not something that would cause someone to die. That Amalei, he responded to him, Niskar Shakamrit, are you talking about when the couple gets divorced? And that is, that incident took place in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Jewish people were already, so to speak, divorced in Galus Bavel, and then they got remarried in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. Niskarsha, when the couple gets divorced, Chazru l'chibas rishayna. Then they go back to the original love that they had, which means to say that they weren't so hamish. It's not the same as when the couple gets married, and then they're married in the first time, and then they're hamish, and therefore, yes, you could see the intimate things of the others without hesitation. The second Beis HaMikdash, that wasn't the same anymore. It was back to what it originally was, as if before they got married, and therefore, since he was going to see what the Aaron, he wasn't allowed to, and therefore, that's why Yatz Nishmasa. Now the Gemara asks regarding this incident, B'mayaskina, this that we said that on, when the Jewish people come, La Lila Rego, come up to the Yom Tov to Yerushalayim and to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, so they would pull back the curtain and they would show them the Kruvim. What was it talking about? When was this in time? Ine b'mikdash rishon, if you're going to say this was at the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, but mihavi pareches, were there curtains separating between the Heichel and the Kachakachim? But we know there was something called an Amatrax, and there was actually a wall that separated, no pulling back of a curtain. El b'mikdashani, but you're going to say it was at times of the second Beis HaMikdash, but may have a kruvim. Were there even the kruvim that were there, which were the shape of a young child with wings that were there at the times of the second Beis HaMikdash? And that is, as Rashi explains, because the Gemara assumes right now that we're talking about the kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made, which was on either side of the Aron, and they weren't there anymore at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. As we said, either went down to Galus Bavel or it was concealed, but either way, it wasn't there. We had only the Evan Shasiyah. So how do we understand the story that they would pull back the curtain to show the Kruvim? Either there's no curtain or there's no Kruvim. And that the Gemara answers, Lo'ilim b'mikdash rishon. Truthfully, it was this incident that we said that they would pull back the curtains was in times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Well, my pareches, what do we say there was a curtain if there was an amatrax and there was a wall, an amathik? Pareches devave. We mean the curtains of the entryways, and that is every entryway. You're right, there was amatraxin, but every entryway, including with the separation between the Heichel and the Kachakachim, had curtains by every entryway, both by the entryway of the Ulam and the Heichel and the Kachakachim. As the Gemara brings the Amr B'zei Amr Rav, says, Shleisha asa pareches hay b'migdash. There were 13 curtains that were hanging in the Beis HaMikdash. Shiva keneged Shiva Sharm. There were 7 that correlated to the 7 gateways of the courtyard of the Hazara. Then you had another shtayim, 2 achas lepischa shel heichel. One was for the opening of the heichel, v'achas lepischa shulam. One was for the opening of the antechamber. Then shtayim b'tvir. Then you had another 2 in the by the place of where the amatraxin was, where this was the wall that separated the heichel from the kachakachim. V'shtayim connecting bali. And then you had another 2 correlating to them up above on the upper story, which was to separate between the upper area of the heichel and the upper area of the kachakachim. And therefore, just like by the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a pareches that was opposite the entryways, so too by Mikdash Rishon, and therefore it's not a contradiction to say that the Kerubim was still there, because it was the first Beis HaMikdash, and there were curtains, because it was where the Dvir was, where the Amatraxon was, there was like 2 curtains, because it was Amathik, one before and one after. These 2 curtains were pulled on aside, and then they were shown through the Amatraxon, with the entryway that they was there, and they were able to see the Kerubim to show that how beloved they are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one answer. Another answer the Gemara gives is Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar. He says, Lo'ilim b'mikdashani. Truthfully, it's talking about in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, Marsha addresses that although we said before that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they were really in the Skarsha, and they were the not so beloved, like that person that got punished, he wanted to see the Aron that was under the tile in the Lishkas Eitzim, where the Marsha says that this is different, as the Gemara itself says, because a Kruvim do Tzurasa Havakaimi. You're right, as we said before, the Kruvim weren't even there in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was either in Gullus or it was hidden somewhere. However, we're talking about the Kruvim that were in pictures. And that's why Marsha says this was something even during the second Beis HaMikdash that they were able to pull back and let them see, because it's not the same as the actual Kruvim themselves. And that is, they were on the walls, there were pictures either with different colors or they were engraved in the wood that was from within the walls of the stone. That's still like it says in Pasuk Melachim Aleph that they had all these pictures around the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, which had this engraving of the Kruvim, of the embracing of a man of a woman, as it says in the pasuk, ve'es kol kirois habayis, and that is with all the walls of the house, mesav kala. There was around it was these different pictures that were woven and they were engraven over there, as the pasuk says. After that, Kruvim, there were Kruvim with smayrais, and there was these date palm trees with turitzitzim, and there was blossoming flowers. And then further on, the pasuk says, v'tzifa zav, that it was plated with gold, miyushar al machuka, and that it was flattened on the engravings over there. Book 7 then says even further, it says, kema'ar ish, like the joining of a man, v'loyais, and it's the company. And therefore you see that there were all these different pictures, the children and the palm trees and this embracing of the Kruvim, they were all there on the wall. So that's what it says. Either again, we're talking about the Mikdash Rishon, and there were curtains, even though there was Amatraxon, or it's a second Beis HaMikdash, and you're right, there was no Kruvim, but we don't mean the actual Kruvim that were there, or that Shlomo Melcha made, but we meant the pictures that they saw, the pictures on the walls of those Kruvim. Now the Gemara asks, "My kemar ish v'loyes." What does the pasuk mean when it's this last pasuk that we brought, that it's the joining of a man and his accompaniment? On that, I'm Rabbi Barav Shila, and we continue on to Amid Beis. It means ish hamoira b'levoy shalay. It means like a man that's embraced in the one who is accompanying him. It means to say that there was this attachment and the hugging of his wife between his arms. That was the pictures that the Jewish people saw, how beloved they are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this is what's in the Kachar Kashrim, the holiest place on earth, to show the love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. Now related to this, the Gemara says, Amar Shlokar Shlokar said, when the non-Jews came into the Heichel, and they were coming to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they came into the sanctuary. They saw this. They saw these pictures of the Kruvim that were embraced one with the other. Now, they peeled it off the wall. They brought it out to the marketplace, and they said, look at this. Yisrael Halalu, the Jewish people, their blessings are blessings, their curses are curses. They're involved in these things. These are the images that they're having hanging on the walls of their holiest area. Miyat hizilum. So immediately it was debased, it was disgraced. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Eicha, kol mechabdeha, all those who had honored her, who had respected her, hiziluha, disgraced her, kiro ervasa. Because they saw her nakedness, and just by the virtue of the most intimate things, once it's already revealed for the public, that itself debases and takes away, and that's the idea of tznius, of modesty, which was there in the Kachar Kashrim. No one ever entered. It was just once a year, the Kohen Gadol, and the Jewish people, they were able to get a glimpse. But once it's taken out, the non-Jews bring it out to the marketplace, that already debases her, because now they all see her nakedness, and therefore, since Kiro Ervasa was his lua, that had debased the sanctity that Hashem had with the Jewish people. Now the Gemara resumes discussing what the Mishnah said. So he said that the Mishnah La'arim, when the Aron HaKadosh was taken away, so the where they put the Keteris now was not between the poles of the Aron HaKadosh, because it's not there anymore. Actually, they put it on top of the Evan Shasiyah. And as the Mishnah tells us, V'Shasiyah Ha'isanikris, it was called Shasiyah, which literally means foundation. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that explains Tana, Shemimena Hushtas Ha'ilam. The reason why it was called this, the Evan Shasiyah, was because from that stone was where the world was founded. As the Gemara says, Tani Kaman Da'amah Mitzian Nevar Olam. This goes like the opinion, which we see that it's a Machlokes Tanoim, that says that the world was created from Tzion, and which that means is that Tzion, which is where the Evan Shasiyah was, that was the center of it all, was created first. And then all the areas around it were like clumps of earth that attached to it from all sides, and from that was the attachment, was the creation of the world. As the Gemara says, the time, like, learn the Brisa of this Machlokes. First, Rebbe Eliezer says, he says the world was created from its center. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Irv, b'tzekes afr la mutzak. When there was poured, when Hashem is saying that when they poured the earth to the foundation, and that it sounds like that there was one pouring, regavim yudavoku, and then the clumps attached to it, And it's from there, all the different areas of the world attach to that center. He argues, he says, Olam minat stadinever. He says the world was created from the corners. And that is, there were four corners of the world. And from there, they kept on going and going and going until they met in the middle, which then made the complete formation of the world. Remember, like it says the pasuk in Eve, ki lashel gemi, because to snow, he said, is a reference to Hashem, heavy arutz, be earth. Now, you should make earth. Now, where is that from? That's from Begeshem Mutter, that the showers of rain, Begeshem Mitris Uzay, and the showers of his mighty rain, and that is from the four corners of the earth, which the Hashem had rain come down, that the earth should flourish, and they continued until they finally went and joined together and created the world. Rabbi Yitzchok Amar, he says, Evan Yer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beyam, Hashem threw a rock into the sea. I mean, Menu Nishtas Ayim, from there is where the world was founded. Shnei Mekah says, the Pasuk in Eve, says al mo'adonei hotfo, that on what was its founding, was its foundation sunken into the sea, oy miyara evan pinasa, or who threw its cornerstone. Again, that's a reference that by throwing in that was the cornerstone, that then from there the world was created. And finally, the chacham say mitzioin nivra, that from tzioin was the world created. Shemak says the pasuk in Tehillim, mizma la asaf keil elikim Hashem. Hashem is the mighty God. And it says afterwards, Mitzion, that it's from Tzion, Michlal Yafi, that's the culmination of its beauty. Now the interpretation of it is, Mimenu Muchlal Yafi Yashalom, from it is the culmination of the beauty of the world, that is, the world was created from Tzion, and that's who our mission is going, like when it says that this was the Shasiyah, from this was Hushta Sa'ilam, this is where Tzion is, this is the center of Tzion, inside the Kachi Kachim, that was what the world was created from. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, "Time learn the Brisa." Relezah God Leimer. He says, quoting a pasuk in Bereishis, says, "Eilu Toldos Hashemayim Ba'aretz." This is the Toldos, the derivatives of heaven and earth. Behi Barum, when He created them. Beyem Aseis Hashem Alekim Eretz B'Shemayim, when Hashem created heaven and earth. Now, Toldos Shemayim. The understanding of this means is that the derivatives of heaven, which are the luminations and the stars, Mishemayim Nivru, they were created from heaven. Told us arts, the derivatives of earth, mi'arts nivro, were created from earth. The chum ha'imrahav chum say, and this is the opinion that we just quoted before, which was saying our mission is like, no, elu ve'elu mitzin nivro. Both of them were created from tzin. Shanem, like it says, the pasuk, mizmul asaf, ke'el elikim Hashem diber ve'yikra arts, that Hashem, the God, He spoke and He called out earth, mi'mizrach shemesh ad mevoyei, from the rising of the sun in the east until where it sets in the west. V'aymer, it says in the pasuk, mitzion mechalal yafi, that from tzion, the culmination of the beauty, elikim yafia, that's where Hashem came from, which that is interpreting what the creation of the whole world was, from mizrach shemesh ad mevoyei, was mimenu mechalal yafi yishalem, that from it, from tzion, was the culmination of the beauty of the world. And again, that's what our mission is obviously going like, when it says that in the times of the second base of Mikdash, when there was no Aaron, they actually used the Evan Shasiya, that the world was created from tzion, and not like the other opinions, but rather from there is where the world was created from, and that's where they would put the guitarist by the Kohen Gadol, the Yom Kippurim, in the time of the second base of Mikdash.